Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 4, we were taught that as Christians we should seek to know the voice of God speaking to us as clearly as we know the voice of the people closest to us. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The fourth thing we're told here is they have their conscience seared with a hot iron there in verse 2. Now, conscience speaks of a right inner moral sense and witness. But this inner moral sense and witness has been burned out. Isn't that the opposite of chapter 3 and verse 9, where it says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience? Well, here they're doing just the opposite. This is not anything that is pure. It's wrong. It's evil. And so their conscience is seared with a hot iron. In essence, they reach a place when their conscience no longer responds to the voice of God. Now, my friend, I pray that you'll know this, and as a matter of fact, you can pray this for me, to know the voice of God in my heart, that His voice will be as familiar to me as the voice of my own wife, and that He'll speak to me each day. Now, my friend, God's not going to speak to your heart if when He speaks to it and He wants something removed from your life and you won't do it, or if He wants something added and you won't add. If the Bible's not a vital part of your life, don't expect the voice of God to be heard in your heart. Don't expect to get to know the voice of God speaking. Now we see a fifth thing here. It's seen in verse 3. Forbidding to marry. And later, the church at Rome began this. We're being told here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that one of the things to happen soon in the church age, after this was written, and remember, this is the Holy Spirit that's speaking this expressly, and He does this so that the true church might understand when the time came what was going on. And so in the latter times, we're being warned that a church would rise that would teach a celibate priesthood or monk is to be celibate, and that he is holier than a Christian father or husband. He's holier than they are. Or an unmarried nun is on a higher moral plane than a godly wife or mother. So they forbid the priest and the nuns to marry. Well, what does 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 tell us about a pastor? The bishop? He says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. So, guy's going to be a pastor, he needs to be the husband of one wife. When one reads of the ecumenical church in Revelation 17 and 18, he sees the evil impact the Roman church has on the world before it is destroyed in the tribulation, as it brings together all the religions under one umbrella and their ecumenical movement, their one world religion, which is the culmination of mystery Babylonianism, which started way, way back there in Genesis chapter 10. And now has settled in Rome and has infiltrated the church. And so what we're finding out here is that we're warned of it before it happens, so we will know it when it does happen, when it does come. One might say this, 1 Timothy chapter 4 is the beginning of the mystery Babylonianism, when it started moving into the church, started bringing in the various things such as idols, the mother and the child, which goes way, way, way back many years before Christ was even on earth. And mother with a halo about her head and a little child, and then we see some of the other things that were involved in mystery Babylonianism. And that has manifested itself. But here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, basically we're being told what would happen. And my friend, it has. It has happened exactly like the Bible said it would. Revelation 17 and 18 will tell you the end of it. 2 Timothy says, look, this is going to start in the church, and it's going to grow. In 2 Timothy 3, 1, in the next book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it was prophetic of the last days, when he spoke of in the last days. And so it wasn't just the latter days, it was the last days there. It's the days before the rapture. Our passage now here in 1 Timothy 4 has been fulfilled since it was written. And the things that are happening here in 1 Timothy 4 are things that are building towards 2 Timothy 3:1 at the return of Christ. Now, by the way, the New Age mind also today forbids to marry. This New Age wants to classify marriage as outmoded and enslaving to the freedom of the human spirit. Now, isn't it interesting that you have an attack on marriage from two fronts here? They're telling their priests and their nuns to not marry, they can't marry, and some of the bad things about marriage. And then, on the other hand, you have the secular world, and it also attacks marriage and says, no, you don't need marriage any longer. It's an outmoded and enslaving thing. And you see, Satan attacks. Now, a lot of these people are men and women that have great abilities. They've obtained great mental capacities. Matter of fact, some of them have what we'd call a genius IQ, and in the 140s, 150s, 160s, and on. But even with the IQ, it's not always wisdom. And so here, these folks, they think they have gained all this knowledge, and therefore they know better, and have no idea that Satan actually has control of their thinking and has set them up for a tremendous fall. Next, we see in verse 3, commanding to abstain from meats. Now, do you remember back in the day of 30, 40 years ago, if you went to a public school, your menu on Friday always had fish. Friday and fish, okay? And that was out of respect for the Catholic religion, realizing that there were children in the school that were of the Catholic faith, and they would not be allowed to eat meat except for fish. And in the area of the country where I was, there were more people that were not Catholic than were, and so sometimes they would kind of get upset with those little fish cakes that they would have, their fish patties, and say, boy, I wish they'd give us a substantial meal. Well, it was a substantial meal. It was all right. But kids like to complain sometimes, and that was one of the areas where they complained. But now here it says it's a command. This church will not only keep their priests and their nuns from marrying, but they will also command people to abstain from meats, and they started doing that on Fridays. And we begin to see some things about vegetarianism. Now, there's a new twist today called vegan. And vegan has never worked to produce greater holiness than an ordinary method of nourishing the body. It's not what you eat that's going to make you a holy person. And sometimes people get caught up with the outward. Now, don't forget, as we go back, what did we see this was, according to verse 1? Doctrines of devils. We're reminded of Eastern pantheistic religions being promoted among nominal Christians today. They teach vegetarianism while venerating animals. I talked to a lady recently who said she is a vegan. And so I spoke to her about being a vegan, maybe some of the differences between that and vegetarianism. But she told me one of the reasons she became a vegan was because she read a book and she read of the cruelty in slaughtering animals. Now, I don't know how they go about it, but is there a nice way to kill an animal? You know, and please don't write me and start telling me all these things. I know they try to kill the animal as quickly as they can so that they can prepare the meat to sell when they slaughter these animals for food. Now, they think that they're operating from scientific fact. But the truth of the matter is that all of this is geared and aimed at the disintegration of biblical faith. Now, don't get pulled in by that. And by the way, don't send me your materials because you'll be wasting your money on stamps. Now, I'm not against vegetables, okay? And I think it's a good thing for people to eat vegetables. Some people think I don't eat vegetables at all, but I do. I eat potatoes. I eat corn. I eat about any kind of a bean. I eat peas. And so I have vegetables I eat. Then there are some that I can eat. I just don't care for them that much. I'll eat celery from time to time and lettuce from time to time. But outside of that, that's about it for me. And I get lectures all the time. And here I'm in my 60s, and I'm still getting lectured about eating your vegetables, and I need to eat more leafy green. Well, I went to Vitamin World, and I found there they had pills called 10 green vitamins or something like that. But they have 10 different greens in them. They have spinach in them. They have kale in them. They have 10 different kind of vegetables that I don't eat in them. And so I take them. I take one of those a day. Well, I was telling one lady that was giving me a good lecture about it, and she says, well, that's not the same. I said, yes, ma'am, I don't get the insecticides that y'all get when you eat your vegetables. Well, she didn't appreciate that, and I was just having a little fun picking at her. But what I'm saying is this. It's fine to look at that stuff and eat well, and perhaps more of us should take notice of that, of how we eat. But let's understand, it's not a religion. And it's not something where we should be getting upset with others.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.